This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Center. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So I probably should just chalk this up as an L, but I'm going to try one more time. I knew this likely wouldn't work, and I've been relying on you guys so much for this particular show that it doesn't matter if you come through now or not. We can just go back to talking about Floyd Mayweather or something at 855-212-4227. Of course, if you didn't see, Floyd Mayweather says he's going to come back and fight Pacquiao. Also going to talk to Andrew Brandt from the MMQB and other places about some of the stories in the NFL in just a few moments. But I was saying before, I'm a big rap fan, and Eminem put out a diss track yesterday, and I've been meaning to do this whenever one of those diss tracks has come out to figure out a way to incorporate in this show. Now, the problem is, I mean, I could just ask you what your favorite all-time diss track is, and you could weigh in on that, but if we were trying to keep it sports-themed, I've thought about doing this in the past, and I didn't know if it would work, really, mainly because I don't know how many people in the audience are willing to put themselves out there like that, you know, or have any confidence in their ability to spit a diss track or a battle rap. But I'm going to give you one more chance before I just call it quits and fold up and move on to the next thing. You can spit a diss track, your battle rap, at any team or any player. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We'll give you the instrumental. And then you spit it. Shep, you seem like you have no shame. I think you would try this. Let me hear you try it. Right? And you want to give us you want a second to prepare? Or do you want to try it just off the dome?
You can try it off the dome.
All right. So while I'll set a couple examples for you too. While you're listening to this, if you're willing to give it a try, 855-212-4227 is the place. I understand if you're not, and I'll just say, "Hey, we gave it a shot. Didn't work out." It happens, but go ahead, Shep. Are you looking? You're trying to read? This is a very bouncy, poppy beat.
Right. So we're sitting here living it up. Robin Lundberg, he will always talk sports. I know that he ain't ever going to be short. I like the fact that he's really hip. I like the fact that he ain't ever going to tip. He ain't ever going to trip. He's just going to sip. I like the fact that he knows his knowledge. You could tell that he went to college.
All right. I like the compliments. It wasn't really a diss track or a battle rap, but hey, the fact that you did that, I give you credit for. And you just seem like the kind of dude who would do that. I don't really know you that well. I've met you a few times, but you seem like the kind of guy who would do that. All right, give me a couple. A little harder than that, though. All right, I can do it with this one. All right, this is for the Buffalo Bills. Ready? You're teetering like Peterman. Your team ain't stable. I guess that's what happens when your fans throw themselves through tables. Something like that. You know, you only have to do a couple bars. Switch the beat for me. So, all right. This is for Dan Gilbert. All right, Dan. How you gonna lose LeBron and lose him again? Don't need Comic Sans to laugh at you, my friend. You're a total mockery. Enjoy the lottery. Everything you've done has been a hypocrisy or something like that. You know? Maybe this isn't going to work, like I said before. I don't think anyone's going to try it. But it was worth hearing us do that, if it doesn't. If anyone wants to give it a shot, they can. Fair weather like Mayweather. It's funny, you coming back to fight, you must not have so much money, right? Something? Anthony, what do you think? Call it quits?
I mean, I think this is a situation where, yeah, people, you're putting them on the spot, so they might be a little leery to come on and expose themselves.
We've had so much caller interaction on every other topic that I can't.
Shep did a good job.
He did.
I thought Shep did a very good job.
You want to try one?
No, why not?
Go ahead.
All right, what are you going to give me, Shep? you have another one that you want to line up for me?
You got to go double time on that one. That's a very uncomfortable on. I got to tell you.
Yo, Mets, you're driving me nuts. Why don't you open up your wallets? Act like you want it.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, Mets. See, you don't understand my plight. You can't even do anything right. Get it, David? Right. Gonna have to bring him out of retirement for one night. I could do it. I could do it with my. You could put me on the spot. Just give me a team and throw me a beat. Let's try that. Go before we totally pack it in, because I don't think anybody's actually going to try. I think everybody's too afraid. But you could give me a team and switch the beat.
All right, this will be an easy one.
All right.
No, we'll give you the Knicks.
The Knicks. All right. If you're rooting for the Knicks, you might want to Knicks that. Understand they're whack even with Phil Jackson back. I got this hat on. I'm going to try. They tried, and they tried the wrong angle. And they're going to keep on failing like Joakim Noah when they gave him that big contract, and they wish they had that back. Something like that. But that was pretty whack. I'm sorry. I could have gone better on the Knicks. All right. Now it's Slim Shady. But give me another team real quick. This will be the last one.
The Cavaliers.
I just did the Cavaliers. Were you listening?
The Lakers.
I'm going to do the Cavaliers again, so I have that in my head. How are you going to lose LeBron and lose him again? Don't need Comic Sans to laugh at you, my friend. You're a total mockery. Enjoy the lottery. You know, the Lakers. How do you make fun of the Lakers right now? It's pretty tough. I don't know if I can make fun of the Lakers. You were bad before you got LeBron. Now you got LeBron. And no, it's not showtime. All right, pack it in. Cut the beats. We're good. That was fun. While it lasted. It's worth a try. You know, guys, if you don't try things, you'll never learn that they're a failure. You'll never find out that you're a failure until you try. You can never get there until you actually try. I guess the big news is the Floyd Mayweather thing. That's what's, you know, but we did that in the last hour. It is an NFL Sunday. So why don't we move back towards what's going on in the world of football, as there are some marquee matchups tomorrow. I'll run through a couple of those real quick because we got Andrew Brandt coming up from the MMQB in just a couple of minutes here. There are, you know, like I was down on the NFL all summer, you know, full disclosure, totally down on the NFL all summer. And it was, you know, one of those things where I've been a fan my whole life, and just the constant negative stories, the thing with Kaepernick. I mean, like even again, Michael Kendricks gets signed. It's kind of funny, right? Like, I never thought that NFL owners would be unforgiving of white-collar crime, but there you have it. Michael Kendricks gets signed. And you can't have something like that happen without bringing up Kaepernick. I mean, dude is facing 25 years in prison and is on a team. I mean, I don't think he'll get anywhere near that, but you understand the point. And then the head trauma stuff, there are just so many negative stories around the NFL, it just starts to wear on you. But I couldn't help it. As soon as the season started last week, I was back in it, like many people. You know, maybe not at my top level of excitement, but it was definitely, you know, consuming the product last week. And now I'm looking at some of the matchups this week and getting right back into that, you know, all right, Vikings-Packers, you got to like that game. I think Minnesota's going to win that game. I think Minnesota and Kansas City they're my picks out of the respective conferences so far this year. You also got the Jaguars and the Patriots, and I'm really rooting against the Patriots. But the Jaguars, one thing that's made them interesting is the identity that they've been given by Jalen Ramsey a little bit. Because how many times can you talk about Blake Bortles? You can't really talk about Blake Bortles over and over again. At least with Jacksonville, a team that's really good and has some sort of Super Bowl aspirations, they now have somebody that is a central figure for them. So that's helped bring that team along. And you know, I'm tired of I root for the Patriots for reasons I root against the Patriots for reasons I don't need to get into right at this second. But I am also just kind of tired of New England. So I'm hoping Jacksonville wins that game. And at home, I think they probably will win that game. There's the Chiefs and the Steelers, and that's another one I just mentioned. I like Kansas City. With all the talent they have at the skill position spots and Mahomes now elevating them to another level offensively, you know, I don't think people give Andy Reid enough credit as a guy who has consistently won. You know, when you're using only the end result as the ultimate determination of failure or success, you're going to find a lot of failures because only one team wins the Super Bowl every year. Andy Reid's gotten to a Super Bowl, didn't win it. He got to all those NFC Championship games and was treated like, you know, made fun of for that. That's good. Getting to the NFC Championship game is good. There's a lot of teams that don't make it to the playoffs. And I know he has flaws with clock management and the like, but he's proven himself as a coach, and he's proven himself as an evaluator with quarterbacks or as a nurturer of quarterbacks, if you will. I mean, remember the name Kevin Cobb? But what about Michael Vick when he had just come back and he was on the Eagles and had that throwback, maybe his best even year statistically? I think the fact that Andy Reid decided that they were good enough to move on from Alex Smith, who's a stable quarterback, to go to Mahomes is a sign that he really believes in Mahomes, and that was enough for me to really believe in Mahomes. And the only thing really keeping the Chiefs back was that next level of attack. And if Mahomes gives them that, I like them as much as any team in the NFL right now. And then there's the Giants and the Cowboys on Sunday night, which is just always intriguing. I don't know if either of those teams is any good, but anytime you deal with Giants-Cowboys, that's one of the marquee, if not the marquee matchup you can get in the NFL, considering how big the Cowboys fan base is, and, of course, the market in New York being the number one market. I'm interested to see if either of those teams can amount to anything, because the Giants were legitimately bad for the first. I mean, they've had some rough years, but they were bad last year. Couldn't protect at all. Eli, you have to start wondering whether it's the end of the road for him. And Dallas looks exceedingly mediocre, so I wonder if either of those teams can challenge in the NFC East. I'll talk to Andrew Brandt of the MQB about some of the top storylines in the NFL coming up next. You can weigh in as well, 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And I want to remind you, today on Fox, Vince Young dazzled the Longhorns in Part 1. Sam Darnold led the Trojans to revenge in Part 2. Only one will emerge victorious in Part 3. It's Texas-USC tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and streaming live on the Fox Sports app. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and I'm not yet ready to go. If you want to continue to hear me flow, don't change the remote. Well, you don't have that kind of control on the radio. CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
This beat still knocks. It's The Robin Lundberg Show. CBS Sports Radio. Talking some NFL now. Andrew Brandt, columnist for the MMQB and The Athletic. Andrew, I was having the audience, you know, I was seeing if anyone was brave enough to try some battle raps before. I'm sure that's not something you want to get into right now, so I will spin it to straight football talk. And, you know, I know so often, you know, it referenced, and it's referenced with you, your time with Green Bay, but because they're relevant, how would you handle the Aaron Rodgers situation coming up right now? When you have an injury like that and an organization has so much invested in one player, is it short-sighted to think too much about this week?
Yeah, morning, Robin. I last week, watching Aaron's performance as a legend grows, I'm feeling like, okay, yeah, this is about right. This is what he does. And it just shocked me that he was more effective against the Bears being immobile than he was mobile. So you just see what happens with him. Yeah, I mean, I think this is not uncommon when you talk about superstars and keeping things under wraps. You know, it's just something where you have a player that has, I don't know, a sprained knee, and there doesn't seem to be any CL attached to this, whether MCL, PCL, LCL, of course ACL. So unless we're missing something or not being told something, I just think we're looking at a player that they want to keep as, I don't know, as under wraps as possible until they have to. Listen, we know the Vikings are expecting to play against Aaron Rodgers, and I think we expect him to play. But the short-term, long-term really has to be a medical decision. I was hearing from Rodgers after the game that in the halftime workout, doctors said he couldn't make it worse. Hmm. So If you're hearing that,
then
I think
plan,
you have medical clearance.
Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And something else that makes a lot of sense is your sort of perspective on how long players should sit, considering Aaron Rodgers' experience. I've seen you tweeting about this, where obviously he is from a different era, and of course he was in a unique situation behind Brett Favre. But we've seen so many quarterbacks now thrown into the fire, which I actually think makes sense for the most part. I mean, there's no better way to learn than actually doing it, but it can also lead to tricky spots like Josh Allen, right, in Buffalo.
Yep.
I don't think they can make a right decision with their quarterback because Nathan Peterman is not good. Their team is terrible. And, you know, you want to develop Josh Allen, but you also don't want to ruin him. Is that how it is, a case-by-case basis, when you're talking about when these young guys should play?
Yeah, two things. And back to the story, the question of sitting versus playing and long term, I think I'm talking to you from Philadelphia. I think that's going on right now here. Could Carson Wentz probably play? Yes. Does he need to play 3 or 4 games now if you're talking about a 10 to 12 year career or 20 year career even? Of course not. And the Eagles probably have the best backup in the NFL. So it's a no-brainer to me what Philadelphia is doing, trying to hold off on playing Carson Wentz until he's 100% absolutely positively ready, which may be next week, which may be October, who knows. In terms of the young quarterbacks, you know, it's interesting. I'm writing about this for Sports Illustrated this week, Robin. I just think that Aaron Rodgers, in my firsthand, I saw him sit for 3 years. I don't think we'll ever see a first-round quarterback sit for 3 years. Now, I know we had Brett Favre, but there just seems to be more, I don't know if it's pressure, expectation to get these guys out there. We're in week 2, and we've got 3 of the 5 first-round quarterbacks playing. Now Josh Allen, and of course Lamar Jackson being worked in with the Ravens, and then of course Sam Darnold. I don't think we're going to wait too long before we see the other 2, Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen, play. Now, it may not be till Halloween or after, but we'll see. And that is the norm now. That's the new normal. And we can come up with a lot of different reasons in patience. You know, and it should be counterintuitive because in the past, before the new CBA, you paid these guys so much money, you want to get them out there. Now, you're paying them a lot, but nothing like before. But still, it just seems like, get them going. That seems to be the new way.
Robin Lundberg talking to Andrew Brandt, columnist for the MMQB and The Athletic here on CBS Sports Radio. Do you expect to see, you know, with that in mind, we haven't seen Baker Mayfield yet, right? We heard Drew Brees talking him up this week. Do you expect to see him sooner rather than later?
I do. I mean, listen, Tyrod Taylor got a tie. That's a big win for the Browns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got a tie, which is huge. But yeah, I watched that game. He didn't play very well. I thought he ran well. I don't think he played well as a thrower. So, yeah, I think that's coming. But, you know, Tyrod's making $16 million. But that seems to be the way people are going, whether it's Sam Bradford or Josh McCown or A.J. McCarron. It's just kind of a placeholder, these guys, and they'll pay them. The teams will pay them just to kind of clear the deck. And the question is, Tyrod Taylor is a placeholder for how long? Up to 16 games, because he's not on contract next year. And we know Mayfield's starting next year, but I think it'll be before that.
Now, I also always enjoy getting your perspective on the business side of things. Obviously, you spent some time as an agent and have analyzed all this stuff. Of course, one of the big business, I guess, points of view when it comes to the NFL this year has been the Kaepernick Nike ad. We see,
yeah,
you know, Nike's stock way up. And it sort of proves a point I think I've been trying to make for a while, which I've always said it seemed like the NFL or whomever was placating to a certain group of the audience and not realizing how broad the audience as a whole was, because I always maintained the people who don't have a strong opinion either way or are in support of Kaepernick, I think, far outnumber the people who are against everything that surrounds that. But when you see a Michael Kendrick signing, is that yet another one that happens where you almost have to invoke Colin Kaepernick and what's going on with this situation, or do you continue to separate that as an entity on its own now because of how big it's become?
Well, a couple things on Kaepernick. First of all, the collusion suit continues. I think that's a good news for him that it continues. It's going to be a tough climb. If there was a smoking gun, I think we would have seen it by now. Collusion requires two teams to have an agreement, or the team in the league, to not sign him. I don't think there is that. Do I think he's going to win a collusion suit? No. Do I think teams are being punitive? Yes. So that's where I am on Kaepernick. The Nike ad obviously resonated with people. Stock is up. I tweeted out Kaepernick needs to renegotiate that Nike contract because they're making a lot more money on it than he is. You know, the Kendricks thing, I think you have to look at a little differently because they are taking a chance on someone, but it doesn't have the impact, polarization that a Kaepernick does. You know, Kendricks is a weird case because there's no precedent, Robin. We've never seen an insider trading case.
Would have expected it from an owner, not from...
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the Seahawks call the league. They say, can we sign him? Can he practice? Can he play? And they say yes. He's scheduled for sentencing in January. He may get a suspension before that, but the Seahawks have a low-risk contract that go week to week. It is a kind of weird, but if you look at it from a business point of view, the Seahawks are like, okay, well, he's free to play. Oh, a lot of teams may not sign Michael Kendricks, but they're one that will.
Yeah, while we're on the business stuff, real quick, where do you or how do you see the Le'Veon Bell situation resolving itself?
That has surprised me because as a former agent, as you mentioned, I don't know if I could advise him to miss $885,000 a week. Looks like 2 weeks now. You know, that's going to be $1.7 million. I don't know how you make that up. Now, I know, you know, he's saying less touches, you'll get a bigger deal next year. I don't get it. I don't think he's going to get a different contract in 2019 because he has 200 touches versus 400 touches in 2018. I don't think so. I think teams are going to judge him on what he's done and not say, yeah, you know, you missed those games, so we're going to pay you more. I just don't see it. So I don't get the strategy. I've been wrong 2 weeks now, but I'll predict again he comes in Monday or Tuesday.
Andrew Brand, appreciate your perspective as always. Thanks for the time this morning.
You got it, Robin.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
Thanks for listening. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for participating in the show. Like I said, I was going to rely on you heavily today, and you came through as we've gotten to a lot of things. But there are still some things I have not gotten to. So, as I do at this point in every show, I get to everything else in another one. All right, Anthony.
All right.
Is up first.
All right. So Andy Dalton, he threw four touchdown passes. Bengals beat the Ravens on Thursday Night Football, 34-23. Are the Bengals now the biggest threat to the Steelers in the AFC North? And is it worth believing in the Bengals this time around, Robin?
Yes. I think they'll win the division. Look, if I have to make a guess, I know there's, you know, it's early in the season and you don't want to overreact too much. But the Bengals have now played two games. What's 2 divided by 16? They are 12.5% through the season. So, you know, a little bit of headway has been made, and they look good thus far. Maybe I'm skewed a little bit because I bet on the Bengals both weeks and have won both bets. But I like Cincinnati. I like the fact that no matter what happens this week, they'll be atop the division, and they have a division win in their back pocket. And, you know, like Andy Dalton, he catches a lot of heat like he's some sort of bum. He's not a bum. He's not great, but he's fine. And he's the kind of guy who's completely dependent on the protection in front of him. Looks like he has protection this year. And if he's got the protection, you know, if Mixon gets healthy, he's a good back. And A.J. Green is one of the best receivers in football. And then Marvin Lewis has a proven track record. Whatever anybody wants to say, no one can say that Marvin Lewis isn't a winning coach in the NFL. He is that. The Bengals have had injuries the last few years. Before those injuries, they had a run of, I think, 4 years in a row where they had 10 or more wins. So I like the Bengals this season, and I wouldn't call their early season results a fluke at all.
So reportedly, Detroit Lions players are already frustrated with Matt Patricia's rules and practices. Robin, should the Lions stop complaining, or should Matt Patricia change his ways?
I mean, it's 1 week, but they got the brakes beat off them by the Jets in prime time. So that's never great. You know, like, I just don't know how talented the Lions are. They seem to be a very chic pick before the season, and I didn't quite understand it. Maybe it's because, you know, I'm not high on Matt Stafford. I would put Matt Stafford sort of in that Andy Dalton kind of class, and I might take even Dalton there. But I mentioned this earlier in the show. Stafford gets paid like a franchise-altering player. And he's not that. And that doesn't allow you to address other needs on the team. For complaints about Patricia to come out this early is kind of worrisome. I mean, you have to be real about it. I mean, usually there's at least some honeymoon period. I can't sit here and tell you he should change his ways or his rules. I don't know exactly what those are, you know, or I don't know, maybe it's the team who needs to change their ways or their rules. But regardless, if we're talking just early season results and reacting to the beginning of the season, I think Detroit's going to wind up in the basement of that division. I mean, you look at the other teams. Minnesota might be the best team in the entire league. Chicago blew a big lead to the Packers, but they looked pretty respectable in the process. And then, of course, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers. So regardless of what Matt Patricia does, I think Detroit might wind up dead last in that division.
So John Gruden called out his quarterback on Wednesday for passing up throws during the Monday night opener against the Rams. The Raiders would save $15 million next year if they cut Derek Carr. Robin, do you believe the Raiders will cut ties with Carr at the end of this season?
I think it's something you have to consider, considering what I just said about Stafford and how much money, you know, you want to invest into a quarterback. This is not great for them. What Carr and how he's performed. He looks a little scared in the pocket. He looks a little maybe scared, a little rattled in the pocket. And it's got to be disturbing where Amari Cooper has had enough big games in the NFL. I'm not saying he's elite or anything, but he's had enough big games where he's proven he can play at a high level, right? And check this for a stat. In six of his last 13 games, Amari Cooper has had fewer than 10 yards receiving. That is alarming. And I can't put all that on Amari Cooper. Obviously, the quarterback has something to do with that. So I think unless Carr improves dramatically the remainder of the season and flashes some of the promise he showed earlier in his career, the Raiders are probably better off cutting bait with him.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, we had mentioned that the Bills will start Josh Allen at quarterback this week against the Chargers. But Robin, do you believe it's a mistake for the Bills to start Allen?
I don't think the Bills can do anything right. They don't have the personnel to do anything right. I made a joke about the flaming tables and the battle raps earlier, but that's kind of a metaphor for where the Bills are. They're being thrown through a flaming table. That's where you are, because what do you do? You can't really stick with Nathan Peterman, can you? I mean, Nathan Peterman is tracking to be essentially the worst quarterback who ever played the position. He's right there, you know, in the mix. I don't mean to be that harsh, but he's got 2 touchdowns to 7 picks. He threw for 24 yards last week. He was 5 of 18 for 24 yards. He completed 28% of his passes. No touchdowns, 2 picks. His QBR last year was 13.8. Last season, completed under 50% of his passes. You can't really stick with him. And then if you go to Josh Allen, you risk ruining Josh Allen. I don't know how good Josh Allen was ever going to be. There's a lot of questions about him. But if he was going to be something, he's the kind of guy that probably needs the right, you know, most people. I don't even want to put that on him. Almost everybody, circumstances play such a role in people's success or failure, right? They play, you know, a vital role in success or failure. And he's the kind of guy that you would want the perfect circumstances around, or at least good circumstances around, and the Bills have a total trash team. So I don't know if they have a right move to make. Generally, my philosophy is let a guy play. Let him get the reps that way. But you also don't want to have the kind of damage done to him, to his confidence, and hopefully not to his body, that can change the course of his entire career. I just don't think the Bills have a good answer.
So Russell Westbrook had knee surgery on Wednesday. He could miss the season opener. I believe this now is his fourth procedure on the knee. Are you starting to worry about injuries derailing Westbrook's career?
I think you always have to worry about that a little bit. You mentioned if it's the fourth. Am I more worried about the fourth than I was at the third? Probably not, right? And he was fine a year ago and the year before that. So it's, in a sense, maybe a little routine maintenance, arthroscopic, get some of the cartilage out of there, clean it up a little bit. But yes, I mean, especially with a Russell Westbrook, you have to worry about a knee injury to some degree eventually catching up to him, because you can't just keep going in there without having some lasting effects. And when his athleticism goes, what's left? You know, I think Russ gets unfairly maligned, you know, because people want to just amplify his faults and not, you know, pay attention to just how good he is. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, you're nuts if you leave him out of the top 10 players in the NBA. He's easily a top 10 player in the NBA, and closer to 5 than he is to 10, right? So you got somebody like that who can alter the outlook of a team. He's the kind of guy who you will watch play. You know, you will watch the Oklahoma City Thunder play because Russell Westbrook is on the team. So when you're that good at that level and that fun to watch, I think he just gets a little bit of an unfair share of criticism. Plenty of it's warranted, right? Not having the best vision, sometimes, you know, stat padding, shooting them out of games late. Some of that stuff is warranted, but it gets blown out of proportion relative to everything else he does out there. But what I'm saying, a lot of that positive is based on him being a freak. I mean, Russell Westbrook is a force of nature when it comes to being an athlete. Baseline to baseline just takes your breath away sometimes. And if some of that goes away, his skills aren't exactly as refined as some of the other greats, where he's not that kind of shooter. He's not that kind of passer where he sees the floor in a different way. So if he loses some of that raw athleticism that separates him from almost everyone on the planet, then yes, that would be concerning. But I'm not going to go too far, because this has been routine for him and we've seen none of the effects. If I start seeing the effects, then you start saying it's panic time.
All right, and finally, Robin, ABC, they're bringing back TGIF. This will be the third incarnation of the primetime television block. What is your all-time favorite TGIF program?
Okay, you're going to hate me for this. I don't like any of those shows, man.
You didn't watch any of them? You weren't into any of them?
It was banned in my house when I was a kid because my parents hated them so much. So I wasn't even allowed to watch them.
Hated them?
Yeah, but they're not good. You know, like, I think it's like a nostalgia. I like the idea of TGIF, but I think it's a nostalgia play. Like, was Full House a TGIF show?
Yeah, Step Full by Step. You see, I feel like all these are nice family shows that you could watch together.
Garbage. Like, you think that's a good show?
I loved it.
You loved
up.
It, or you?
You see,
like,
see that's the
watch
thing.
Full House right now. How much is the nostalgia?
It's all nostalgia.
Yeah.
See, I was so young that you really don't get a grasp of really what the quality, if it's actually good or not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could say that about a lot of things. Like, I used to love the Ninja Turtle movie. I mean, I look at it now.
Which one? The first one?
The first one, yeah.
This first one's still pretty good. Is it bad?
It's pretty
when
bad.
When Raphael gets beat up by all the foot soldiers?
Yeah.
I mean, look, nostalgia is a heck of a drug, right? It's like the member berries from South Park. Remember when? And speaking of Ninja Turtles, I just saw, like, a bunch of animated series posted online. I wish I could recapture that feeling of Saturday mornings when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and X-Men cartoon were back-to-back. But the two things that even as a kid I wasn't really into that I look back on and I'm sort of like, you had good taste, son, are I did not like Full House or those shows as a kid, and I did not like Power Rangers as a kid. And Power Rangers, not good.
No, I loved it.
But you're speaking in past tense. If you watch Power Rangers now, how would you feel about it?
I would still be into it.
Like some of that stuff I could rock with probably now, like Animaniacs or Pinky in the Brain.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, like some of it,
those are smart, actually.
Good is good, and bad is bad. Now, of course, you know, like I wonder how I would view Alf if I were to see Alf at this very moment. But, you know, nostalgia works that way in sports, too. We've had that conversation a million times. It's like why, you know, people will bring up somebody from 40 years ago who couldn't possibly compete at the same level of athleticism as guys now. But to answer your question, I really didn't watch too many of those shows.
You know what I really miss and love about those shows is the television theme song. And that has gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any great television theme songs. I understand. I mean,
Game of Thrones one goes on for 20 minutes, as you see, like the whole. My favorite recent ilk has got to be Curb Your Enthusiasm because I can just always hear that one in my head for certain situations. Dun, 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 dun. Like, how, Robin, will you get through the final minute of this show in the awkward situation where you're done talking? You don't have enough time left to introduce a new topic, and this segment here is finished. You know, it's a very Larry David moment. And you know how you do that? You say, any portion of the show you missed, you can go to cbssportsradio.com and catch the podcast. Just go to the audio page, look for my pretty face, and click that link as I'm here with you every Saturday morning. You know,
This is not a theme song.
What is it? Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It has no lyrics or anything.
It has to have lyrics to be a theme song? No, it doesn't.
When I'm thinking theme song, I'm thinking like Family Matters.
Okay, which ones have lyrics? I'm trying to think of ones with lyrics. Is this
step by
all
step,
right? Because I'm saved by the bell.
That's one.
Growing Pains. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Heroes in a Half Shell. Turtle Power. They're the world's most fearsome fighting team. Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines.
That was great.
Raphael is cool but rude. Give me a break. Michelangelo is a party dude. Cowabunga. Back next Saturday morning, 6 to 10 Eastern, here on CBS Sports Radio. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show. Have a good weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.